Oh yeah, there's a baby in the house. I tell you, William, it's good to have William in the house. So, talking about babies, listen to this. I gotta read it to you. I was not thinking about you, John, since John Rogers is kind of the newest father here in this place. A newborn. It says, one day shortly after the birth of their new baby, the mother had to go out to do some errands, run some errands. So the proud papa stayed at home to watch the wonderful son. Believe me, John, this is not about you, okay? But when I read it, I said, you know what? John's here, so I'm going to pick on him. Soon after the mother left, the baby started crying. You know that annoying cry the baby does? But a baby needs something. So the father did everything he could think to do, but the baby wouldn't stop crying. Finally, the dad got so worried, he decided to take the baby to the emergency room. Right away, he's like, man, you know, I can't get hold of my wife. I got to figure out what's going on here. So yeah, the father met a doctor. After the doctor listened to the father, all that he had done to get the baby to stop crying and nothing was working. So the doctor started to examine the situation. You know, first of all, he checked the baby's ears, the chest, you know how they do their thing, you know, checked everything, all the way down to the diapers. And the doctor realized the diaper was full. So the doctor said to the father, here's the problem. The baby needs a diaper change. The father was very perplexed, but the diaper packed. He said, well, the diaper pack said it's good up to 10 pounds. So, this father... Only, I guess, the diaper, you know how it gets, you know? Maybe it was only like 5 pounds or 6 pounds, you know? The father couldn't figure it out. So anyhow, Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for what you're doing here in this place. Lord, as I share your word, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that's going to take it, who's going to take it and just reveal the revelation we need. In Jesus' name, amen. So, yeah, this morning it's good to have Katrina with us. I don't know, some of you know, who knows. Katrina is one of the... You're coming back. So we'll get her to come and share what God's doing. But she is one of the missionary we are standing with in Africa. And so, yeah, we're glad to have you. And, of course, my father-in-law and my mother are here. It's good to have you guys. And I've got some awesome friends, John and Deborah and Larry and Terry. Welcome. Good to have you guys. Yeah. It was a full week, I tell you. It was a full week. I don't have a crazy story today. I listened to my sermon last week. I was laughing. I was just like, man, this was funny, you know. But today I want to continue to talk with you about be devoted to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. And if you open your Bibles in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. My challenge to you today is to do whatever it takes. Last week I talked a lot about be devoted. You know, what does it mean to be devoted? I use a lot of example. You know, I almost forgot my daughter. My oldest daughter is here, Priscilla. Yes. Thank you. Could we appreciate her? I'm happy that you were able to come and be with us today. So be devoted. Do you have my screen, Xavier? It says, be devoted. Devote yourself to prayer. What are you devoted to? And I know most of us has no choice to devote to our work, whether we like it or not. You have to be devoted. You know, sometimes you have to put your alarm up because... You know, I know Dr. Aaron, he's on a pager sometimes. You know, he's probably have the pager on today, you know. He's on call. So he's devoted. It's a good thing. So my charge to all of us this morning, let us be devoted, especially as the day of the Lord's returning. You know, this is the third Sunday, and I hope to finish this today. It says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for me too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about the mystery plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim the message as clearly as I should. And then, I don't have the, Xavier, you got to keep up with me, brother. Thank you. But the next verse, if you have it in your Bible, that would be verse 5. It says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. But my point here would be the first part of the verse. Devote yourself to prayer. My next slide goes, revival comes through prayer. I give you the story about this. Revival comes through prayer. Now, if you open your Bible in Acts chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Let's go there. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Acts 1, 3, and 4. He said, after his death, he presented himself, Jesus did, alive to them in many different settings over a period of 40 days. In face-to-face meeting, he talked to them about things concerning the kingdom of God. As they meet and ate meals together, he told them that they were on no account to leave Jerusalem. So the word is, do not leave Jerusalem. Now, a couple weeks ago, I had this question. I wonder I don't know if you guys ever tried it. What would it be like to really kind of discipline yourself to quiet your mind? So here's a challenge for you. I know some of you take walks to empty your mind. It's a lot harder for some to quiet your mind. Oh, I find it very hard for me to quiet my mind. Especially, I mean, some of those of you that's got the mindset as the internet superhighway. You always have something you're thinking about. You always have something to think about. All the Mark Gunga talks about the nothing box. It says some people have a nothing box. But if you could sometimes get into your nothing box and really go in your nothing box and be thinking about nothing, that's amazing if you could do that. I actually have a nothing box, and I can get into my nothing box watching Little House in the Prairie. Seriously. That's how I get in my nothing box. You know? I even have the soundtrack. I should have play ready to play right now. But remember, if you wish to see God's move in your life or in our church, if we wish to see God's move in our church, in our lives, we must fan the flame of the Holy Spirit through prayer. And the prayer I'm talking about is not, God, I thank you for the food. Lord, what a beautiful day. I'm talking about coming in, it's going to come up, what prayer is, seeking the face of the Lord. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. See, in Acts chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Jesus told them, do not leave. What would happen if literally King Jesus, and I pray he does that to each one of you here, King Jesus would call you to a moment or a season in your life, he's like, I want you to be on your face with an indefinite time. I want you to be on your face. I want you to come to my house. and just wait.
We don't know how to wait.
That's why, you know, I've heard someone talk about it. They talk about relationship like the fast food relationship. Everybody wants a fast food relationship with Jesus. You know, fast food, quick, just drive through, give it to me, God, let's go. But do you know not all fast foods are good for you? As a matter of fact, most fast food, because it's prepared fast, and you're going to eat it fast on the run. And when you eat on the run, statistics shows that when you eat on the run, you don't digest your food properly. I know. When I learned that, I'm like, you know those people that are driving with the right knee and then trying to eat the sandwich at the same time, keeping everything going and putting their makeup on? It says that kind of eating, especially eating that kind of food, doesn't profit your physical bodies. It's to your advantage when you sit down, especially if the mom or the wife or the husband took time to prepare the food. Sit around and enjoy your food. What would it be like to wait? And if you read the Bible, nothing happened. God doesn't operate. God, the kingdom is not fast food. There's nothing like fast foody in the kingdom. Moses went up to the mountain. He took Joshua with him. They stay up there for 40 nights, 40 days. And the more Moses did it, took Joshua with him, the Bible says there are times Moses went in the presence of God. Moses were done. Guess who sticked around? There is something about being in the presence of the Lord. And I wish I could just like open your brain, give it to you. That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you. And I pray each of us, you get to the place where you're like, man, I got to be devoted. Jesus told his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem. So let's say, for example, Peter. 5 days into it, you know, poor Peter, we always blame everything bad on Peter. 5 days into it, Peter would be like, guys, I've had enough. Can you imagine? Peter's like, I'm going home. Guys, I'm going fishing. You know, it's been 5 days. James, it's been 5 days. Thomas, what do you think? I mean, Jesus can't just let us wait here. I understand the first day, the second day, the third day. What? Well, he was, I bet you most of them had an expectation on the third day because he was from the third day, after the third day. But third day went by, fourth day, and then fifth day. Can you understand the frustration? What would happen in your life if you would train yourself, make a decision today to devote yourself in seeking God's face? What would happen? Well, I know what would happen. I've seen it in my life. And you've heard people's testimony who took time to see God's face. See, Jesus told them, do not leave Jerusalem. This morning I pray that you would be able to wait. There's no fast food mentality in the kingdom. You wait. Day 10, actually it took 14 days after Jesus went to heaven for the Holy Spirit to come. Can you believe it, guys? 14 days! But they took Christ's word when he said, wait. Wait for what the Father is sending you. Revival comes through prayer. If you wish to experience revival, even in my personal life, sometimes I realize the things I'm doing, if I need a different result, well, you know, I know where it's at. I gotta be on my face. I gotta be in the word. When I say I gotta be, I have to be. You need to understand as a believer, What does Martin Luther said? I'm going to put that again on the screen. It says, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible to be alive without breathing. Now, the prayer I'm talking about, remember, I'm not talking about, Lord, thank you for the food. Because a lot of time people think praying is, Lord, thank you for the food. No, praying is not either, you know, sometimes we pray, we talk to God, and we expect God to do the things we want Him to do. That's not what it is. You know, the disciples, they asked Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, well, when you pray, first of all, you ask that His will be done. Now, when you ask the Lord that His will be done in your life, are you serious? Do you know what that means? Do you know what it means for the will of the Lord to be done in your life? It's pretty much dying on the cross. The will of God to be done in your life means you die on the cross. So God's will for you is to pray. God wants you to pray. God wants you to be devoted to prayer. Now I want you to go with me in Mark chapter 1 verse 25. Let's look at Jesus' tactic for a successful day. Last week I gave you a story about how it was for me. And I tell you every day that keep me going. And when I want to give up, I remember this. Because sometimes we have so many excuses. Oh man, I was so busy. I had a busy day. I had a busy weekend. I had a busy week, busy month, busy year. And then you're like, man, when does it get better? And you know, some of us, you think, well, you're going to retire. Then you're going to have all this time before you know it. You start, you know, retired people tell me. And everybody wants you to do everything. And before you know it, you have a full schedule. Right, Dave? You know? And not only that, you also have, especially if you have a servant heart, you want to help everybody too. Not that they want you, but you just want to fill your days with helping, serving other people. But I don't think any of us were as busy as Christ. Listen to what it says. In Mark chapter 1 verse 35. While it was still night before dawn, that means, you know what time that is? Between 2 and 4:30. He got up, he went out to a secluded spot and prayed. Now, move up from your Bible. Let's read what happened. Now, we're not going to read it, but just let's go over it. I want you to look, verse 35, it says, before daybreak, the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. But I want you to read, just go over it quickly from verse 29. To 34. What happened? I want you to look at it. What was happening from verse 29 to verse 34? Well, there it is. The thing that was happening, Jesus was busy healing a lot of people. Not only that, if you keep going up from verse 21 to verse 28, Jesus was also healing more people the day before. So Jesus was on constant demand. How many times do you feel, man, your work needs you, your family needs you, your husband needs you, your wife needs you, your grandchildren needs you? Why, I don't have any more time. Your church needs you. And sometimes you sleepwalking. Oh, when did I pass Dim Neck Road? Sleep driving. I hope not. But what does it say here? Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place. Because Jesus knew prayer was the engine. He knew he couldn't do it without praying. Despite Jesus' busy ministry, he sought time to pray. My charge for all of us this morning, despite of the busyness of life, you cannot afford not to cultivate your prayer life. It's not enough for me to pray for you. Mm-mm. It's not enough. You know, Mark chapter 6, verse 46, it says, after telling everyone goodbye, good night, Jesus went into the mountain by himself to pray. You should love to pray. But I tell you, every time we hear about prayer meeting, this flesh is gonna ache. There's nothing in this flesh, in my soul, until my soul is yielded to my spirit. There's nothing in this flesh that would want. Oh, let's go to prayer meeting. Oh, yes. Unless your soul and your body is being controlled by the spirit man, guess what? Your soul and your flesh is gonna kick. Prayer is good for you as a Christian. Devote yourself to it. First of all, it's going to be good for your relationship with God. You'll be a healthy Christian. And our church will have healthier Christians. Oh, I tell you, when we come here, when everybody's dwelling, remaining in God through prayer, God will be able to use us a lot quicker. You'll be more efficient. You know, Mark and Luke and John put a lot of emphasis on the importance of prayer in Jesus' life. Prayer, I like it. Prayer equipped Jesus to love. Prayer equipped Jesus to preach, to teach, to heal, and to cast out demons. I know Christians, certain Christians, they're afraid of demons. And I'm going to go back there again. People here in America, they're afraid of demons or medium, and they watch scary movies. So life is not scary enough. They watch, like vampire movies, and they're not aware that is opening up their house to demonic activities. You know, you find churches doing Halloween, decorate their yard as a graveyard. And you're like, you wonder why people are so oppressed. You wonder why it could be medical as well. But you know what? It takes a lot of demons for somebody to just pull out a gun. That person's mind and soul is like full of darkness. The spirit of Satan itself that kills, steal, and destroy. To just all of a sudden kill innocent people. To grab a gun, to be like, today you will die. Children, can you? And you're like, well, I don't know what to pray. Or if you could just only watch the news and start praying. Cry out to God. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up. I want you to always remember this. You are not too busy. Jesus was very, very busy. At times, he was very tired. Tired. You know, the kids, you remember your kids when they're learning to say tired? When you tell them, you got to go take a nap, I'm not tired. You're like, it's not time, I'm not tired. They learn that quick, I'm not tired. And then when they grow up, when there was a kid, I can't remember which one, when they do something and you need to discipline them, they say, I tired. Not, I tired, mama, I tired. Do you know what is prayer? Be reminded again today, the most basic definition of prayer is talking to God. You see, when even in relationship, when you have in families, friends, the first thing the enemy still break when he wants to kill a relationship is the communication. That's why people don't want to talk about issues. Spiritually, it's the same thing. That's why sinners or people that are living in sin, it's like sin separates us from God's face. So therefore, there's no communication. Prayer is not just meditation or what they call it yoga. You know, people are like, I'm going to do yoga. I'm connected. Everybody's trying to connect it to something out there. You know, you can tell I haven't done yoga, right? I can't stand on one foot. God wants to communicate with us. God is not this God sits up there and he's just checking you out with this judgmental eye. He's not smiling, all right? I gotta be serious right now. God is not like that. He's a good father. That's why we can always come to him. Oh man, guys, listen to me. We can always come to him. You know, something as I'm getting older and, you know, growing in my relationship with my children, it's like it hurts me when somehow there is in our relationship, there is some misunderstanding that they couldn't talk to me. Let me tell you this. I mean, you guys are parents. You understand what I'm saying. If you're not parent, you will get it. As parent, we always want communication. At times, it might feel like we don't want you to talk. It might sound like we're not communicating the right thing. But the more I'm understanding God's heart, I'm realizing, man, God wants me to talk with him. That's why it says in Colossians chapter 2:4, devote yourself to communicating with God. Don't let anything stop your line of communication with God. Don't let anything stop it. It's not religion. It's not going to the priest and confess your sin and then now I can talk to God. It's not, I know in Haiti, growing up, there was something they said, they told me, they taught me like that. Thank God for this freedom. And when I was growing up, somehow, the church we were going, they said, when you're naked, you can't talk to God. And I believed it. You know, and sometimes it would be warm and I'll decide, you know what? I'm going to sleep naked. And I got caught by my parents sleeping naked and I'd get a spanking because what are you doing with God? You can't be sleeping naked. God's going to be like, depart from you. What a lie. See how messed up religion, I mean, they come up with crazy stuff. And some other people think, well, for me to come to God, I gotta have this long head covering because, you know, I need God. When I approach God, I gotta have my head covered. I should leave this. God is a good father. He wants the line of communication wide open. And the enemy, when he attacks us, When he wants us to stay apart, far away from God, the first thing he's going to tackle is our line of communication. Or then I can't talk with him. Or even for us two parents. Because sometimes we believe certain things, our children say certain behavior, and we think they don't want us to talk to them. I'm learning. And I'm realizing, wow, of course. Because if there is no communication, guess what? There's no relationship. A healthy communication is based on communication. And what is prayer?
It's up here.
Oh, next one. Prayer is communication. Communication with God. I communicate with God. I talk to God. Not only I talk, but guess what? Communication is never a one-way street. It's not like the person talking. It's also about you listening. I know each of us, we have those friends, right? Talkative friends. I'm learning to listen a lot more than always be talking. It's very annoying. I have a friend who talks a lot. And then, so now the more I listen to him talking, I'm like, man, I don't want to talk. Prayer is what? Seeking God's face. James chapter 1 verse 6, it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. You ask by faith. Prayer is seeking God's face. Seek God's face. Have you ever lost something? A quarter? Or something that falls on the ground? What do you do? Oh man, sometimes you get down, right? Certain things you lost, you can't be, oh, where is it? I can't find it. I don't know about you, but you know what I do sometimes? I go down like this. What am I doing? I'm searching. And sometimes I even go like this. Oh, where is it? Until I find it. You search. There's nothing. I told you last week something that really kept me going this week. When I knelt down in my office Sunday morning, I felt like, man, Lord, I have nothing to give people today. Not because my spirit's not willing. My spirit's willing, but remember, we still have this fallen body. That's why the more tight, take care of yourself. Take time to rest. Even if you're working hard, make sure you have time to reboot your mind, your brain. Working all the time is not healthy for you. We could make a song out of this. Working all the time is not good for you. Ding, ding. Ding, ding. Working all the time. Ding, ding. It's not good for you. Ding, ding. Gotta have the balance. See, the enemy wants us to be busy. And before you know it, life goes by. You know, even in ministry, recently, one of the things I realized being in ministry in Haiti, it's all the glory to God, but I realized, man, I was trying to save the world and I missed some of the best years with my kids. I mean, the Lord restores. But the mindset of man, there's a song that goes like this. It goes like this. Let us work for the Lord before sun goes down. Let us work for the Lord. Let us give it all. I'm gonna give it all while I just never take care of my family. Forgot that if I'm a failure at home, I'm a failure. I'm going to work. Make sure my kids get nannies. My son get nannies. They've got drivers. They've got everything they need. They've got, all the toys they need. They got all the money they need. But they're empty. And you wonder, man, where did I miss it? You're like, my darling, I give you everything. I give you everything. But you miss to give them the important thing. And that's why you see this orphan generation out there. Orphan parents as well, because they don't get it. They think the best they can do is giving their kids all the gadgets. Remember, prayer is seeking God's face. Prayer is communicating with God. John chapter 16, verse 23, it says, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you." You see, when I read this the other day, I was just like, wow. For me, that gave me another revelation, because I realized, we sang it this morning, we do not seek your hands, right? But we seek your face. I've got some friends, some people in my life, they're not friends. You know those friends that just seek your hands? I watched a movie the other day. Which movie? Why? Did I watch a movie with Ryan? Yeah, we did watch a movie the other day. It was some, what was it we watched the other day? Jet Li. It was a, Yahoo! I told you, we like to watch these movies. He was Jet Li, man. But then from the time he was 12 till like 30, he couldn't understand his father. And he was so bitter towards his father. But because he wanted to prove something. He wanted people's approbation. So therefore, he made the wrong friends. You see, friends that are just your friends because you can take them out, you can give them gifts, you can all go to Starbucks together, you paid for everything, you go on trip everywhere and you pay for the gas. I tell you, those are not good friends. They might not be good friends. You know, a good friend, I've learned, you all know what I'm saying, I'm preaching to the choir, is someone that will tell you the truth, someone that will stick with you through hard times. Someone who just wants you, not because of what you can give, but it's just like, man, this is my brother. This is my sister. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you live downtown. If you live uptown, I don't care. I just love you, and man, I'm just so crazy about you. That's it. That's a good movie. It took him years to learn some of the things his mother was trying to tell him. And one of the things the mother says, his friend said, those friends, they're just your friend because you're giving them everything. You're giving them advantage. Friends with them, friends with advantage. God doesn't want that. God wants you. You know? And you hear people talk, well, how come God didn't ever answer my prayer? And we know it when we have a friend. I have a couple friends. I'll do anything for them. Why? Because we're friends. I'm always there. I've got some friends in my life that has become families. It's like you drop everything, right? It's the best when you have families that are your friends. Or families that understand friendship. And we can find that in the kingdom. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of my Father, because of our communication, because of our friendship, whatever you ask of my Father, I will give to you. Prayer, number three, is pouring out one's soul to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 20. Then Ezekiel, the king of Israel, the prophet, the son of Amoz, prayed because of this and cried to heaven. Have you ever got to the position to cry out to God? When I say cry out to God, I'm not saying you cry out loud. But when you're just sobbing. There's another verse. I think it's in 1 Samuel. When Hannah answered, no, Hannah answered to Eli, no, I'm not drunk. Or I'm not, am I a woman troubled in spirit? I have no drunk either, nor wine. But I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Why? Because she was being humiliated. She was being rejected. She was being they were making fun of her. So what did she do? She would go to God. Have you ever got to the position where you just like you have no other hope? But God, you're just crying. I don't know. Have you ever been into that position?
To be crying out for the Lord. You in front of the Red Sea. That needs to be a miracle. Only God can make that miracle. And you're crying out. You're like, cry. I'm talking about. You're just crying.
See, people like that, when you get to that place, there's nothing that would hurt a parent's heart when they seeing their kids suffer. Right? I've never seen it. You know, when the two-year-old just trying, I mean, not two-year-old. What age do they walk? Like 9 months, 7 months? They start walking. You know? And then they fall. Bleep. They, you know, the parents, they never like, each time the kid falls, the good parent never like, yeah, he falls, yeah. Do it again. No way. You know, they're trying their bicycle, you know how it is on their bicycle. And then they fall, bleep, and then the dad's like, yes, that's right, fall again. No such a thing. You know? Sorry. I get animated. Oh man, I tell you, this is good stuff. Prayer is drawing near God. Drawing near. How do you draw near someone? You make the effort. But let me tell you this. God's always on the side to making the effort. So God, as a matter of fact, the word says in the New Testament, draw near him. He'll draw near you. You know what that means? Open door policy, open heart policy, open arms policy, open blessings policy, open favor policy. You're like, God's like, come on, man. My favor is like, you remember I told you? I love you from the day, even before you were born. I created you wonderfully, perfectly. I made you. Yes, amen. So I'm like, sometimes like, man, does God love me? Does God love me? Let me remind you again today. Prayer is drawing near God. You know, I figured if I would keep searching the Bible for verses that would tell me what prayer is, I'll be here probably for a couple of more hours. And we don't want anybody to be falling asleep on us. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14 says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. I bow my knees. You know, if you can't bow your knees, lay down before him. Cry out to him. Paul wrote, he says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God and the peace of God. Listen to this. How do you experience the peace of God? By praying. What is prayer? Communicating. God wants you to pray. God, as a matter of fact, God wants you to ask. There is nothing like us parents have good relationship with our kids. You know, they're honoring us. You know, you're honoring them. There's nothing like when my son comes, he's like, oh, by the way, I have a story. One day, I was at the house, and I got a phone call. Ring, it's Ryan. Ryan's like, hey, Dad, can I use your car to buy pizza? I said, yeah, sure. And, okay, so I was done. I was like, oh, why would he want my car to go buy pizza? So, okay. I was just like, cool. Sure, my son can just use my car. And then 30 minutes later, I got a notification on my phone. $40 Domino's pizza on my credit card. So Ryan, and then of course, Ryan was with his friend. I guess they had a bet or something like that. They wanted to know if I could pay for their pizza while they go out. So he called me while their friend were on the phone, on the speaker phone, and he's like, hey, Dad, can I use your card? And I'm thinking, I heard car. So I said, sure. And all his friends were like, yeah, what a cool dad, yeah, man. You know? I mean, I'm glad it happened that way because my answer would be no. I would embarrass Ryan right there. Man, it worked out great for him. $40 later, I'm finding out I just bought pizza for a bunch of young kids. You know? Then, you know, when he came, I was just like, 20 minutes, he never came, got the car. I'm like, oh, man, what happened? You know, I guess they decided to use another car. You know? But can you imagine? I was delighted to pay for that pizza. You know why? Because I take delight in my son. I love my son. I have a good relationship with my son. He loves me. I love him. We talk. So therefore, everything I have is his. Can you believe that? That's how it works. Us spirits, it's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. When the relationship is open, when communication is open, we have everything he has. It's a matter of stepping into it, right? Dad, can I use your card? I'm going to be with my friends. Guess what, guys? I'm going to show you something. I'm going to call my dad. I'm going to be like, somehow. But somehow, Ryan assumed I would say yes. He assumed I would say yes. But like I said, it's so great. It worked out for him. I would probably say yes because I know he's got $40 to spend with his friend. But you know what? God is our good father. And the enemy, he does not, I'm going to repeat it again, want our communication with God. Do not be anxious about anything. But please, be reminded to tell God everything. Everything, it says here. Yes, God wants us to speak with him. That's why the Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, devote yourself. Devote yourself. Make it a priority to communicate with him. You know, sometimes, I tell you, God is so good. Sometimes we're like, well, I don't want to tell God. He knows. How many times I use the story, you know, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, the blind man. Bartimaeus, the blind man. Jesus was going to Galilee. On the road, Bartimaeus heard Jesus was going by. Somehow, faith come by hearing. Somehow, Bartimaeus heard Jesus could heal the blind. So therefore, what he heard built his faith. So in his mind, he's thinking, man, I wonder what would it take to meet that Jesus, to encounter that Jesus. One day, all of a sudden, Jesus is on the road. And Bartimaeus is like, what's going on? What's going on? Somebody says, oh, yeah, it's Jesus. Jesus? Oh, Jesus! Jesus! He doesn't care. He doesn't, people, Jesus. I mean, he's shouting with all his might. He's crying out, Jesus. Have you ever find yourself in a situation where you have to cry out to Jesus? To fully crying out because he's the only hope. He's the only one that can come through. But you know what happened? His cry touched the heart of Christ. Because with all the commotion that was going on, there's no way Jesus would have heard him. But Jesus heard the cry. Connection. Connection. Then Jesus stopped everything. He's like, what's going on? Oh, yeah, Bartimaeus, come over here. Ah, take heart. Someone says, Bartimaeus, take heart. He says to bring you to him. All right, got there. Oh, awesome. Jesus said, what should I do for you? Wow. What do you want? I can, once again, imagine Peter. Ah, come on, Lord. That's a dumb question. See, God wants us to talk. He wants us to ask for things. But he wants us to be in the right position. That's why people out there, people who does not have a relationship with Jesus, they think, well, I can just ask God for a new car, and then he should give me a new car. Well, how come God didn't heal my father? How come God, and then they get bitter. How come God is not doing this? How come God allowed this to happen? You need to remember, we live in a fallen world. And you know the rest of the story. You know, in conclusion, my last slide would say this. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert. Be alert. I like that. Be alert and sober-minded. Sober mind, so that you may pray. Don't be drunk. Know your time. Know the season. Know the season. That's why when we call for prayer here, make it a priority. Once a month, we come together to pray, to seek God's face. I'm not just doing it just because we have nothing else to do. Oh, since it's a church, let's just have a meeting. Believe me, sometimes I don't want a meeting. It's a burden. It's a responsibility. I'd rather be home watching Little House on the Prairie. Now, this is serious stuff. I don't know why you're laughing, but maybe it's funny. But I'm serious. Because I know sometimes people have this mind, this kind of idea that, you know, pastor is always about the meeting, bringing people together. Let me tell you, it's a burden. It's a lot of work. Okay? I'd rather just have home group, you know, sit around, have people talk. Having a corporate prayer. Imagine the 24 prayer to put together a 24-hour prayer, not even knowing who's going to come, and understand everybody's got responsibility. God bless them. I'm going to be here praying for them. You know, no guilt for people that didn't come. God bless you. This is not what I'm talking about, because sometimes, you know, when I say stuff like that, it could come across, oh, now I feel bad that I wasn't here. No, there's no shame in Father's house. I'm higher. I'm saying, this time we are in, be devoted to prayer. When we talk about prayer, oh, prayer, yes, oh yeah. My body, let's go. Body, I say, let's go. We going. Get in the car. Drag your body. Bring your body here. Bring your body in prayer. Find a group of people who wants to pray. As a matter of fact, I love to pray. The pastor loves to pray. So when I call for a prayer meeting, come together once a month, I want you here. I don't want just me and Dan. I want you here. I challenge you to be here. Make it a priority. Once a month we come together. Right now we say once a month. From 7 to 9 or 7 to 8. As much as possible. This is not just the pastor's prayer. For those of you that can drive at night, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in prayers. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I planted those seeds. You know, may if you have ears to hear what God's saying. Maybe your prayer life has been just like stagnant. And you know there needs to be improvement. And if that's you today, I encourage you, just where you're sitting at right now, you know, as we go through the next song, and I encourage you, just talk to the Lord. Do the adjustment that needs to be done. If you need repentance, repent. If you need to make a decision, you make it.